The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And today's program is sort of a continuation of yesterday's program. I'll remind everybody what we talked about yesterday, particularly if you didn't get a chance to listen. Yesterday, you know, we went through the reasons for the most common causes of hospital admissions in adults. Because I think if you're aware of that, then it sort of empowers you to take more steps, perhaps, to prevent these things from happening. Because obviously, if people are being admitted with these problems, that means the doctors aren't preventing them adequately. And what's that all about? Maybe the doctors don't have that in their power. Maybe it's up to the patient or the healthcare consumer themselves to take the steps. After all, unfortunately, doctors are trained to wait for you to get sick before they jump in and try and help you. Instead of looking for ways to keep you from getting sick, and you know, it's not just the doctor's fault. It's the insurance company's fault. They don't want to pay for people that don't have a complaint. You know, every time we submit a claim to an insurance company, they want to know, why did you do that? You know, what was the reason? And, of course, there are so many problems. For example, one of the reasons for admission to a hospital is a cardiac arrhythmia. Well, do you know that before you have a cardiac arrhythmia, you're probably asymptomatic? In other words, you know, that's why the doctors aren't able to help you, because you don't have a complaint. And then all of a sudden you develop an arrhythmia. And they're not looking for the predisposing factors that increase your risk of developing an arrhythmia, so then you wind up in a hospital. The same thing is true with almost all of the most common reasons for going into a hospital. Another one is congestive heart failure. The one that I think probably the patient has to assume a lot of blame for is emphysema or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. You know, if you're a smoker.
Dr. Slavin?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Slavin, I have a question about the COPD. Are people who've been diagnosed with asthma, or people who have possibly a lifelong history of multiple diagnoses of bronchitis, possibly multiple bouts with pneumonia, might they be at greater risk of developing COPD?
They might be. You know, especially if you have repeated infections like that, which is another category of admission to hospitals. You know, you get it, you have infections, you have to be admitted. But the most common infections were pneumonia and urinary tract. And, of course, pneumonia, again, is a lung disease. So, but what I was saying is, if you're a smoker and you develop lung disease, you know, that was, to a large extent, preventable.
You're right.
So, yeah, but the other ones, unfortunately, we don't really have a good handle on, for example, asthma, although it has been associated with magnesium deficiency. Now, the interesting, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the program, about magnesium deficiency, because it is rampant and associated with so many of these reasons for being admitted to the hospital. And then some of the other reasons, the coronary atherosclerosis, diabetes, infection we mentioned, medication problems. Believe it or not, and I think it's very easy to believe, that was the most admissions to hospitals were related to medication problems. Almost 2 million hospital admissions. Pneumonia we mentioned, of course, stroke. So those are the common reasons for admissions to hospitals. The reason we talked about it is because I think if patients and doctors paid more attention to these potential problems that so many people who get admitted to the hospital get admitted for, you probably could prevent a lot of them. And so today I thought we would look into what people die from when they go into a hospital. And believe it or not, that information was very difficult to come by.
Really?
Yeah, you know, you can find out what people die from, but when you ask specifically what are people dying from in hospitals,
right?
You know, in that context, it's like the hospitals don't want to let you know what's going on in their hospital. Like it's a big secret that people die in hospitals. The interesting thing is, let me just go through some of the reasons people die from in hospitals. And it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, basically, your body is failing when you're in the hospital. So you have respiratory failure. You have pneumonia, septicemia, which is a blood-borne infection. So you start off with a little infection, and it spreads to the blood, and you die. It means the antibiotics didn't work. You die from kidney disease, cancer, stroke, pneumonia, and heart disease. But here was the thing. You know, what's missing from that list, and that list was from the Centers for Disease Control. So, that, you know, that's an official list. You know, when I looked for, just want to go into one more thing.
I have another question, Dr. Slavin. Okay. Yeah. Is it a requirement that hospitals report the deaths and cause of deaths to any kind of agency? So are they required to report to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention? Are they required to report to Health and Human Services, anything like that?
Well, you know, you have the death certificate signed, and those diagnoses get reported. But here's the thing. You know, respiratory failure. Everybody dies from respiratory failure, if you think about it. Just like everybody dies from a cardiac arrest at the end of the, you know, of life. But what you're supposed to do, though, is put, say, respiratory failure secondary to, which might be secondary to. In other words, there are reasons leading up to it. So if you die from cardiac arrest, okay, but what was behind it? Did you have a cardiac arrest because you were dying from cancer? You know, a lot of times the doctors just write cardiac arrest, and that really doesn't give you the information you need. But I just have a few more facts before I get into the one real eye-opening fact that was sort of a headline when researching what people die from in hospitals. About half of all Americans die in hospitals. And then you have people dying, of course, in nursing homes and long-term care facilities. And then about 30% die at home. And you know what? 7 out of 10 Americans would prefer to die at home. I'm surprised it isn't even higher than that. So now it's funny how you have conflicting you don't really have conflicting numbers here. So 7 out of 10 Americans would prefer to die at home, but only 25% actually die at home. More than 80% of patients with chronic disease say they want to avoid hospitalization and intensive care when they're dying. And I understand this, having treated patients in hospitals and trying to, you see, here's the thing. When a patient's in the hospital, you fall into basically one of two categories. One category is you're going to get better. Or no matter what treatment we use, the outcome is unfortunately going to be you're going to die. Sometimes you can tell right off the bat which group you fall into. Sometimes you can't. And therefore, then you have to treat that patient. And that's why it's so important to have those, those waivers that patients can sign dictating how they want to be treated at the end of life. Hospitalizations, and here's an important number to think about. Hospitalizations during the last 6 months of life are rising. So,
and it's very, very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because when you analyze where the bulk of healthcare dollars are being spent, it is in the last 3 to 6 months of life. So instead of understanding the importance of treating before the symptoms of disease are present, or without understanding the importance of nutrient support to reduce possibly the speed and progression of a disease, all of that is pushed aside. And instead, what we have are very, very expensive approaches that lead to, unfortunately, the same outcome, which is death.
Now, here are the 10 leading causes of death in America in order. So number one is heart disease. Two is cancer. Three is stroke. You have chronic lower respiratory disease, accidents, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, kidney disease, and sepsis. Now, I haven't gotten to the big headline, but we'll do that in a minute. But I want to go through a few more of these facts. But I guess we'll have to wait till we come back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex test and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut, or your digestive function, is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about what illnesses get people into a hospital, and what illnesses do they die from most frequently. And we were getting around to just how much money is spent. And here's a few things. Patients with chronic illness in their last 2 years of life account for 32% of Medicare spending. as Janet was mentioning, wouldn't it make more sense to spend the money in preventing all these illnesses than in just waiting for people to get sick and just spending it during the last 2 years? Now, I mentioned earlier about the categories of people who go into the hospital and you know you can treat them and get them out of there. And then you have the people that go in, and probably it's not their first admission. They've been in and out of the hospitals, and you know that there's a high likelihood that the treatments won't be successful. And then the decision comes, are we really prolonging life, or are we delaying dying? And a perfect example of delaying dying is when you have someone on a respirator or a life support. And, sometimes they can be on there for a week or more at a time. I think we have to do a better job in, keeping people, number one, out of the hospital and needing all this attention. But, at the beginning, you can't tell if someone's going to get off life support and make it back or not. Now, here's the important point. One large-scale study of cancer patients found that costs were about a third less for patients who had end-of-life discussions than for those who didn't. You know, there are studies that show that terminal patients are getting treated right up until the end. In other words, nobody's making a decision to say, the treatments can't help anymore. They just let it keep going. But here's the point I was holding off on. And maybe the biggest reason why you want to avoid going into the hospital. And here's the headline. Hospital errors are the third leading cause of death in the U.S. And that's the headline. It's funny how that didn't make it into those other lists of why people die. You know, heart disease, cancer, respiratory tract, accident, stroke. So they say 440,000 Americans are dying annually from preventable hospital errors. So what does that mean? That means you go into the hospital for one of those other reasons we said, and there might have been a good chance you would have left the hospital, but somebody made a mistake and you die. So this 440,000 number of Americans dying from hospital errors, which are preventable, makes it the third leading cause of death in the United States. And underscores the need for patients to protect themselves and their families from harm and for hospitals to make patient safety a priority. So how do you protect yourself from hospital errors? Well, first thing is don't go into the hospital. Work on staying healthy. And that's the whole point of this discussion is when you know the reasons most people get into the, what's wrong and they go into the hospital, you should work on reducing your chances of those things happening to you. I think the one thing that you probably, may have less control over is if you're in an accident through no fault of your own. You know, that one you might not be able to prevent, but most of the others you can. Janet, I hear you moving around there. Did you want to say something?
No moving, no? Sitting very, very still, well, listening
I heard a little
to
noise.
You.
Mm-hmm. So the hospital, apparently there's a hospital safety score, and they assign grades A, B, C, D, and F to various hospitals. And it shows that many hospitals are making headway in addressing errors, accidents, injuries, infections that kill or hurt patients. But overall progress is slow. The interesting thing is this is a topic you never really hear talked about.
Dr. Slavin, I see from time to time great big billboards along the interstate that say such and such hospital is rated in the top 100 hospitals nationwide. How much credence can we put in that information, and who does the rating, and how is the rating established?
And it may be ongoing, but very hard to find this information out. You know, that's the problem. Here's a statement in quotes in this report. Let me see who wrote this report, because let's see who. It doesn't really say for sure. It's just the website is hospitalsafetyscore.org. So I think if you went to that website, you probably can get the information you want. But in it, they're saying we are, and it's interesting they picked out this city. We are burying the population the size of Miami every year for medical errors that can be prevented. A number of hospitals have improved by one or even two grades, indicating hospitals are taking steps towards safer practices, but these efforts aren't enough. During this time of rapid health care transformation, it's vital that we work together to arm patients with the information they need and tell doctors and hospitals that the time for change is now. Now, what are they talking about, health care transformation? Because that's an interesting way of putting things. What's happening with healthcare transformation is that ICU stays are longer than a week and have been increasing. Why is that? Because people are getting into the hospital later and later. In other words, they're not being seen by their doctors in their office, so by the time they're seen, they're sicker, they're put into the hospital, and it's taking them longer to get well because they're not being managed until they get very sick. That's the kind of change you're seeing with healthcare. Hospital stays, another statistic to look at, not one I don't have at my fingertips, is readmissions to hospitals for the same problem. In other words, patients are being forced out of the hospital prematurely, and they either get readmitted or they die. Those are, I think, interesting points that should motivate people to take the steps once you know what people get hospitalized for, to stay out of the hospital. It's not a safe place. Clearly, if you need it, you need it, but your goal should be to try to not need it. So let's go back to a couple of the reasons people go into the hospitals and what you can do to make sure that you lower your risk. Cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, atherosclerosis, diabetes, they all have a lot of things in common, these conditions. And one of them is magnesium deficiencies, which is very common. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that only about half of the population gets enough magnesium in their diet. And magnesium is essential to life, actually. It's found in every single cell of the body. And its highest concentrations, as you might expect, are in bones and teeth, followed by the brain, heart, and blood. And it's involved in over 300 separate metabolic functions. So when you're deficient in magnesium, you can see how your health can go awry and predispose you, instead of just saying, cardiac arrhythmias or heart failure or heart attacks. I think another condition, it predisposes you to being admitted to a hospital. And that predisposes you to dying from preventable errors in a hospital. And I think when you put things in that perspective, it gives you a good reason to work a little bit harder to stay out of a hospital. Janet, you have some experience with knowing people that have been in a hospital.
I do, Dr. Slavin. Yes, just unfortunately, just recently. And I was able to see how errors can very easily occur in the hospitals because there seems to be a breakdown in the chain of communication. And in certain hospitals, a number of different physicians, resident physicians, treating physicians, surgeon, all interacting with the patient, but not necessarily interacting with one another and not necessarily interacting on an established routine with the nurses who are caring for the patient. So a great deal of miscommunication, I would say. And so you can see how very, very easily errors can happen. And then you think, okay, I have a bit of sympathy, a great deal of sympathy for the caregivers in the hospitals because they appear to be working very hard and certainly doing their best, but for some reason the system isn't well coordinated.
Jana, let me tell you how it used to be. At least in my training and experience, you had the primary care doctor. That's the doctor that admits the patient and takes care of them during their hospital stay. And the primary care doctor would call in specialists to help with the care of the patient, and the specialists would write their note, you know, explaining, you know, from their point of view, from their specialty, what's wrong with the patient and their recommendations and what medications they recommend, but they wouldn't write the order to give the patient the medications. You see, they would write it in their note, and it would all be funneled through the primary care doctor. So the doctor then would write, come in, he'd see the note, he'd see what the doctor's recommending, and he would write the prescription, you know, the order for the medication. So at least one doctor knows what all the other doctors are doing, because you might have three or four or more specialists on the case, and to the way it's done now, they're all writing prescriptions, and it's and in other words, they're all writing the orders for medication, and it's not being funneled through the primary care doctor. They're all writing it themselves, and that's where you get a lot of the mistakes, where you get duplication sometimes. Two doctors might write the same order because they didn't see that the other doctor had written that drug. So then it's up to the pharmacy who fills the prescriptions or the drug orders for those patients to pick up all these mistakes. So you've lost one level of protection, so to speak, by not just funneling it through having one doctor, or having only one doctor writing the orders for the patient based on what the specialists are recommending. You know, that was, I think, a good way of doing things, but it's not being done that way anymore. Everybody's doing their own thing on patients, and increases the likelihood of errors. But back to why we get hospitalized, you know, we said the number one cause of death is heart disease, and heart disease comes in many forms. We mentioned cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, heart attacks. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the steps that you can do to reduce your chances of these problems. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
This is Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We started the program off going through the reasons why people get admitted to a hospital and what are the causes of death in the hospital. And, of course, number one in both categories is heart disease. And one of the, I guess, more common reasons for heart disease that it never gets addressed because it's not a drug, it's not expensive, but its deficiency is very common, and I'm talking about magnesium. And even the government, you know, admits that 50% of the population is deficient in magnesium. That's the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They don't get enough from their diets. And it's extremely important for the heart, for the brain. What are some of the symptoms? Well, believe it or not, you don't develop a magnesium deficiency acutely. You know, it comes on over time, and it doesn't lead to hospitalizations acutely, but it just predisposes you to those problems we mentioned, like cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, heart attacks. So, as you know, as we mentioned, it's required for the production of energy in every cell of the body. It helps maintain blood vessels to be dilated. You know what that means? In other words, you have a dilated blood vessel, it means it's supplying a good blood flow to the various cells and tissues of the body. And if you're deficient in magnesium, you're more prone to spasms in blood vessels, diminishing blood flow. Therefore, it becomes crucial for the heart to have adequate magnesium. It's also important for the immune system. It's important for the electrolytes in the body. You know, the electrolytes include magnesium, calcium, sodium, potassium. So all these things need to be kept in balance, because when they're off, it's going to affect the heart and you're more prone to arrhythmias. So in the early stages of magnesium deficiency, some of the symptoms might be loss of appetite, nausea and vomiting. It can cause weakness and fatigue. It's been linked to sleep disturbance, insomnia, mood disturbances such as anxiety and depression. And if you don't address it, you know, it just progressively gets worse and worse. And as it gets worse and worse, you're looking at osteoporosis, heart disease and diabetes. Low levels of magnesium in the brain are linked to tremors associated with Parkinson's, for example. And then you have other symptoms like numbness and tingling. Point is, it's associated with so many problems. You should be having your levels checked routinely. And it's not enough to be within range. You have to, you know, optimize your magnesium levels. And you have to do the right test. And the right test is not a serum magnesium level, because most of your magnesium is found within the cell. It's not found in the serum. And therefore, the easily done test is a red blood cell magnesium level. At least you're getting a better idea of magnesium levels within the cell. Janet, you see a lot of people, you know, in my practice, let me just preface this by saying, we routinely check magnesium levels. Now, you see other people and they bring lab work to you. Do you find doctors are checking magnesium levels?
Well, very frequently, the magnesium that is being tested is the serum magnesium level, and that really doesn't give a true picture of an individual's magnesium status. So, unfortunately, it is very rare that I see patients who have been tested for the status of magnesium within the blood cell. And very, very often I will talk to the patients about the importance of testing that, and I suggest that they maybe go back and have it tested because the symptoms that they're discussing with me very much can point to magnesium deficiencies. So certainly the most common is elevated blood pressure, and if people took some very, very simple steps like proper hydration, certainly supporting magnesium levels, and using some very, very high quality oils. It could be fish oil, it could be coconut oil, it could be borage or evening primrose oil. So any of those approaches can be the start to overcoming and elevated blood pressure and prevent the need for doing a blood pressure medication that could very much be associated with a number of different side effects. So magnesium at the basis of very, very good health. When I talk to people about possibly the painful joints and lack of flexibility in their joints that they're dealing with, once again, magnesium comes into that picture, that the ratio between calcium and magnesium is not very well supported. So very, very interesting. When you begin to understand the importance of magnesium, you can alleviate so many different uncomfortable symptoms that you might be experiencing. And it's a far too little recognized aspect of maintaining people in a healthy mode.
So the first step, and, you know, again, we're prefacing the reasons we're talking about this is addressing why people get admitted to the hospital. So you have cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, heart attacks, diabetes, and even lung issues. And magnesium plays a role in all of them. So makes sense to make sure your levels are optimal. Now, if a doctor were to write a prescription for magnesium, he's going to probably write for SloMag, probably one of the least effective forms of magnesium to take. Do you have any recommendations about what type of magnesium people should take?
All the time. And so it depends on what their focus is. Certainly, if people are dealing with very achy muscles or achy joints, it's reasonable to focus on magnesium malate. And if people are dealing with problems with elimination, constipation, and some digestive issues like that, then the least desirable form of magnesium is desirable for that issue. So magnesium oxide for people who want to support elimination and overcome constipation. Then there is the magnesium that is magnesium threonate, and that is associated with supporting brain chemistry. So very, very helpful to support the function of magnesium within the brain. So you can use magnesium malate, you can use magnesium taurate. There's a very, very comprehensive formula available, and it contains the citrate, the succinate, the glycinate. So My general recommendation would be to choose a chelated form of magnesium. So magnesium that's bound to an amino acid, and that chelation or chelating process, very beneficial because it allows the magnesium to be delivered to the site in the body where it is needed. So very specific recommendations for certain conditions, and in general, when people are just trying to support their magnesium status within the cell, then use a comprehensive blend of different forms of magnesium.
And let me think for a second about can you overdose with magnesium? And the answer is probably not, unless, and this is hypothetical, unless, you know, you had, you know, kidney failure or severe renal disease, then the potential might be there. But like with everything, you want to monitor your levels just to make sure that everything is staying balanced. But what happens when you take too much magnesium, it gives you loose stools. So you, and that's your body's way of giving you a little feedback there, and you adjust the dosage accordingly. But typically, when you use the better combinations of magnesium, like chelated magnesium, magnesium glycinate, or the 3-8 that Janet just mentioned, there's less GI issues with it. So magnesium deficiencies need to be prevented, and certainly certain drugs are going to interfere with the magnesium levels. Janet, I think if someone is taking a lot of calcium and not taking adequate magnesium to match the dosage, that can create a magnesium deficiency because of competition for absorption.
And Dr. Slavin, wouldn't that possibly contribute to heart arrhythmias? Wouldn't that possibly contribute to calcium deposits and arthritic inflammation?
It can. And here's the thing. It's not that calcium is bad, but people are taking it in excess because they're so afraid of getting osteoporosis. And, of course, why are they afraid of osteoporosis? Great marketing, you know, by the drug companies in their attempt to sell, you know, drugs for that problem. The proper dosing of magnesium and calcium is about a 1-to-1 ratio. And people are taking far more calcium than the body really needs. What your body needs is to be able to utilize the calcium you're taking. You see, you know, just taking a lot of calcium doesn't guarantee proper utilization. Time for another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about one more substance extremely important with regard to heart disease and, of course, keeping you out of the hospital. But right now, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. through her remote counseling sessions. She works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about why people get sick and need to be hospitalized. And once you know the reasons, you can take steps to reduce your risk of those. And probably the most common reason or category for people to be hospitalized has to do with the heart, either a cardiac arrhythmia, congestive heart failure, or a heart attack. And we just finished talking about magnesium, how that's so important in protecting your heart from any of those problems. But there's another nutrient that, you know, we again measure it routinely, and people are routinely deficient, and that's coenzyme Q10, and it's not because they're taking statins either. Even without statins, they're deficient. And CoQ10 deficiencies have been associated with Parkinson's disease, diabetes, and of course, heart problems. Here's the interesting thing. I think I know the answer, but they're saying they don't know if the condition causes the CoQ10 deficiency or whether the CoQ10 deficiency causes the condition.
Okay, pardon me, Dr. Slavin, while I laugh a little bit about that. There are so few people eating red meat these days, and that would be one of the sources where they might support to a very, very minuscule extent their coenzyme Q10 status. And so if people are over the age of 50 and dealing with high blood pressure, maybe they have coronary artery disease running in their family, they absolutely should be, number one, testing their coenzyme Q10 levels and then supplementing to maintain an optimal level of coenzyme Q10. And for those younger people who are leading very, very active lifestyles and involved in sports and exercise, to maintain your stamina through very, very intense workouts, very important to consider using ubiquinol, a very effective way of energizing your body and supporting your coenzyme Q10 levels.
And again, it's an easy blood test to have to find out where you stand. And again, you don't want to be in range. You want to be, in my opinion, actually above the range. We're talking about why CoQ10 is important in keeping you out of the hospital because it can lower blood pressure. So that's an important one. We mentioned, too, that the people that take statin drugs lower their CoQ10 levels. But here's what happens to people when they take statin drugs. Some of the side effects include muscle pain, nausea and diarrhea, liver and kidney damage, and this is very important to know, increased blood sugar or type 2 diabetes. And CoQ10 could help mitigate a lot of those side effects from statins. But I have a better way to avoid the side effects of statins. You know what that is, Janet?
Avoid the statins, Dr. Slavin? Might that be a good idea?
Exactly right. the cause of high cholesterol, which is even debatable if you have to address your cholesterol levels, but the cause is not even eating cholesterol. Most people still haven't gotten that message. The cause of high blood pressure is carbohydrate intake. You have to cut back on your carbs in order to, reduce your cholesterol levels. And happens all the time. So,
Dr. Slavin, one of the suggestions that I very frequently make is being very, very careful with sugar, artificial sweeteners, and certainly the processed carbs, because those all contribute to elevation in blood pressure. And invariably, I hear from people that they've been told to avoid salt, that watch your salt intake because that's going to raise your blood pressure. And I find it's much more uniform, a more uniform response to sugar and processed carbs as regarding elevated blood pressure than is the response to sodium. There's no question that some people are extremely sensitive to sodium. The other part of it is, when you think about where their response to sodium might be coming from, it would be processed foods, that there would be extremely high levels of sodium in some of the processed foods that people might be consuming. So be very, very cautious to read the labels. One of the things that I tell people is you're picking out a processed food, look at the sodium content, and then see if there is a potassium content noted on that same label. You want at least an equal amount of potassium to balance the sodium, or possibly even more potassium than sodium in the processed food. The other part of it is use things like sea salt, Himalayan pink salt. So very health-supporting approaches rather than the very harsh and chemically manipulated table salt that very often is what people react negatively to.
And Janet, since we're talking about CoQ10 in the context of heart disease, the reason why we're talking about heart disease, it's, the number one cause of death and probably the number one reason why people go to a hospital. And deficiencies of CoQ10 as well as magnesium increase your risk of heart disease. So you want to have those levels measured and you want to correct for deficiencies. The number two cause of death, as most people know, is cancer. And CoQ10 also plays a role there. So you want to, another good reason to make sure you have adequate levels of CoQ10 because it can improve your immune system. And that's also been shown. And then in another case, and here's an interesting report. In one case, researchers described three breast cancer patients with metastatic disease. The women underwent conventional cancer treatment, but then they supplemented with about 400 milligrams of CoQ10. And all three women demonstrated tumor regression and a decreased incidence of metastasis. So just, these are nutrients are preventive if you make sure you have adequate amounts, but they can also be very effective in helping you fight illness as well.
It would be very interesting, Dr. Slavin, if death certificate of those people passing away within the hospital walls were very, very specific about the particular cause of death, going into greater detail rather than just saying cardiac arrest. And, if people being admitted to the hospital had their nutrient status monitored, you might be able to maintain a more stable health situation for those patients admitted to the hospital, and they might even find that the medications worked very efficiently, possibly even a reduced dose of the medications.
Janet, just a quick aside here. If you were to stay in a hospital long enough and live on the hospital food, you'd die of malnutrition.
That's the truth.
And so, we're just, pointing out to those people who are willing to take individual responsibility for their health and not just rely upon their doctors. And I say that because if the doctors were doing the best job possible, and again, It's the insurance companies that don't seem to want to help out here. So the doctor's hands are tied in being able to help. But make sure you have your doctor check your levels at least, and then you can take care of correcting any deficiencies. But they're not routinely checking. We just talked about, too, CoQ10 and magnesium. They're not routinely checking for it.
It comes down to patient responsibility. It isn't to say that you have to be 100% on the straight and narrow with regard to the food choices that you're making, but certainly be aware of the nutrient content in different food choices. Be aware of what you as an individual might require more of. And certainly I talk all the time, Dr. Slavin, about antioxidant status. The coenzyme Q10, the magnesium, that's very important. Essential fatty acids, high quality essential fatty acids. And you have to be in communication with your doctor to be certain that all these things are within proper ranges for you. But the Jana juice antioxidant formula, a digestive enzyme so that you support your digestion and absorption. And I just want to let everybody know that I'm in Greenlands at 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach from now until 2 o'clock. Dr. Slavin?
All right. And so there's at least two things to remember, kind of easy. Check your magnesium level. It's a red blood cell magnesium. Check your coenzyme Q10 levels. At least those are two steps you can take to reduce your chances of requiring hospitalization. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Don't forget, we're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.